Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host, Gwen Sheltimer, and our guest this week, mystery novelist Vanessa Westerman. Crime writer Barbara Fradkin has described Kate Rowan as the perfect heroine for our times. What makes Kate such a strong female character, Vanessa?
Kate is imaginative, curious, and stubborn. She has a passion for crime fiction and, as a bookstore owner, the means to indulge it. She can pick locks, throw a mean right hook, and run a business. She's not afraid to ask questions, and she never backs down. She has impressive skills in self-defense and hates, absolutely hates, being called a coward. She can fight off villains as easily as she deals in first editions. I was so thrilled by Barbara's comment because an editor had once described an early draft of An Excuse for Murder as a woman in danger novel. I was horrified that I had given the impression that my female protagonist needed saving. I revised the novel, making sure that Kate showed strength and courage in every decision she made and every action she took, and then Barbara Fradkin praised Kate's spirit. So the editor's criticism led to the best compliment I could have received.
One of your readers describes the novel as a combination of spy thriller and cozy.
I actually tried to combine elements of both genres in the book, which has led to it being difficult to pinpoint sometimes. Readers of crime fiction often seem divided between those who prefer cozy mysteries, something light with a village setting, and those who prefer thrillers, filled with nail-biting suspense and fast-paced action scenes. I enjoyed both, and so I wondered if I could write a traditional village mystery with its puzzles and quirky characters, but include the suspense of a thriller. Gary's scenes are darker and filled with tension, as well as the occasional bar fight, as he faces the danger of his crime being discovered. Kate's storyline follows more the conventions of a cozy. She's an amateur sleuth tracking down clues to uncover the truth. The tone in her scenes is lighter, and there's a strong sense of community in the small-town setting, especially in the close-knit relationships Kate has with her friends and family.
So, is there a spy plot in it?
There is a little bit, yes, especially in the investigation, but it's more so the thriller aspect that comes through, I would say.
So why did you set An Excuse for Murder in England rather than in Canada or the USA? Is the setting important to your story?
The setting is quite important to the story. I decided to set An Excuse for Murder in England, partially as an homage to classic British crime novels, but I also wanted to make use of the rich architectural history that exists in England. Kate is renting a room in a rambling Victorian home that has witnessed generations come and go and now harbors its own secrets. Kate's great-aunt Rosalind is nicknamed the Eternal Wife and is tormented by a tragedy that occurred on the property long ago. Shaken by the more recent death, her behavior becomes increasingly erratic, and she begins to confuse the past with the present. The house, with its tower, moss-covered stones, and century-old orchard, is like a fairy tale setting come to life. Marcus even warns Kate that she needs to escape the house before that hour of disenchantment comes, or reality is going to break her heart.
Tell us a little bit about how you got this published and about Wild Rose Press.
Well, it took me quite some time to sell my book to a publisher. 6 years, in fact. I was lucky because I got encouraging responses from agents and editors, as well as some valuable feedback that helped improve my writing style. A fellow Arthur Ellis Awards judge was kind enough to read through my manuscript and gave me constructive criticism. She pointed out that I was making the mistake that many new writers make. My writing was too flowery. So I edited An Excuse for Murder. I stripped down the prose, taking out excess adjectives and metaphors. The manuscript went from 128,000 words to 75,000, and my writing was much better for it. I seized the opportunity to pitch the edited manuscript again, and the hard work paid off. I signed a publishing contract with the Wild Rose Press. The Wild Rose Press is an independent publisher that's based in New York. They started off mostly as specializing in romance, but have now branched out to other genres and also mainstream mysteries. I think originally they were digital first, but now they also do paperbacks as well. They're great to work with. They try to communicate a lot with their writers, and they're very quick to respond, so it's lovely. And I think one thing that I've taken away from the whole process is that it can be easy to lose confidence along the way, especially for a new writer, as there are so many challenges to overcome. But the best piece of advice I received is keep writing, no matter what.
Are you writing a second novel?
I am. I have big plans. I'm working on a standalone mystery right now that does not involve Kate and Gary, so I'll see about that. It's about a mystery that involves a chocolate shop and a pop-up art gallery, but a lot of people have also said they can't wait to find out what happens with Kate and Gary, so I have that on my to-do list as well.
I should keep you busy for a bit.
Yes.
Okay, read us some more from an excuse for murder.
I know when I'm reading mysteries, I love the part where the body is found, so I can't resist sharing the moment when Kate stumbles upon the corpse quite literally. "Where did you find the body?" Marcus Evans asked. It was a familiar question, and one Kate Rowan had even looked forward to while turning the pages of a book late at night. Now here was Marcus asking her that same question, and she realized that all it took was two words to turn a man into an object, inanimate, the body. Sprawled at the bottom of the basement stairs, she could feel a frisson of panic waiting one moment ahead. The body was lying across the last step like a rag doll on a shelf. Kate stood at the top, looking down, and clutched the phone to her ear. A draft of cool air brushed against the back of her neck from the open door behind her. The paper bag she'd been holding was lying splayed open across the dead man's chest where it had fallen. The pages riffled, a dry whisper of sound stirred by the breeze. It could have almost been a final exhalation of breath. The words seemed to ripple across the paper, a flurry of black on white as the page moved. "What are you doing in the basement? Shouldn't you be at work?" "I wanted to bring my beanbag chair up from the storage room. I thought it would work well in the bookstore." A fragment of glass gleamed in the shadows of the unlit hall. "Isn't that the dust-infested blob I carried downstairs for you last year because it's so hideous? I thought I'd take another look at it. As your best friend, I say this with the kindest intentions. It should be incinerated. Are you sure Mr. Wendell's dead?" "Yes." Her eyes were diverted by folds of fabric touched by the sunlight coming through the open door behind her. It was the little things she hadn't noticed at first that she couldn't stop noticing now. Gray cast skin, one claw-like hand clutching at his chest, calloused fingers stiff, eyes torn wide. She met his gaze, resisting the urge to flinch. Absolutely sure. "What happened?" "I don't know." Taking a deep breath, Kate inched closer. She shifted, gripping the railing with her free hand for support, and peered cautiously down. Her sneaker slipped on the carpeted step. The next thing she knew, her knee connected painfully with the rough texture of the wall. Her palm skidded off another surface, and she was on the ground, her right hand planted in something sticky and wet. She knelt face to face with Mr. Wendell and stared into his vacant eyes. Those filmed irises with the barely visible lids and a feathering of pale lashes seemed to take in everything and nothing at the same time. His lips were stretched tight in a grimace, an eerie imitation of a smile that shot a surge of pure terror through her. Not that she'd admit it for the world. "Are you okay? What's going on?" Marcus demanded anxiously. Kate scrambled backward away from the body. "I'm fine." Her voice did sound fine. Strong. A line of blood trickled warmly down her leg from the tear in her jeans. "I slipped on something wet." "Was it Mr. Wendell's blood?" He sounded a little too eager. "No." Kate raised her hand to her nose and the harsh scent of vinegar assaulted her nostrils. She gagged, a reflex reaction that was all shock, even though she knew exactly what was coating her fingers with a wet sheen, pearly in the half-light of the basement. "Pickle juice," she managed. "Oh, sure, pickle juice." A pause. "Why pickle juice?" "He loved pickles. Looks like he's crushed the jar beneath him." Kate pulled herself slowly to her feet. She winced as her knee smarted with the movement. "Based on the descriptions in crime novels and a couple of different TV shows, I'd say he's had a heart attack." "Isn't it a bit risky drawing conclusions on reality from fiction?" Marcus asked. "Oh, wait, that's the way you live your life." "Thank you, Marcus." She rolled her eyes, taking a shaky breath of that too still air. The acidic scent of decay and fermented pickles caught at her throat. "Books teach people about life, offering experiences you can't have yourself." "It's called entertainment, love." "I don't have time to argue with you right now. Mr. Wendell wasn't the nicest person, but he didn't deserve to die like this." "You're right," Marcus sobered. "Did you call 999? "Of course I called 999. Kate pressed a hand against her throbbing knee. "It was the first thing I did." And here I was thinking I was the first person you'd ring upon stumbling across a course. How foolish of me. It's that ego of yours. What if Mr. Wendell didn't die of natural causes? What if someone killed him?
Thank you, Vanessa. I have lots of questions, but I guess she won't answer them and give away the plot.
It is tricky.
Okay, well, there's nothing for it. I have to read it, won't
I? Yes, you will.
And where can our listeners buy your book, Vanessa?
An Excuse for Murder can be purchased through independent bookstores such as Slough the Baker Street in Toronto, Furby House Books in Port Hope, or Lighthouse Books in Brighton, as well as online distributors like Amazon.
So many, many thanks to you, Vanessa, for introducing us to your mystery novel, An Excuse for Murder. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.